Today on Day One, you'll hear an encore presentation of a Day One program for this sixth Sunday in Easter with host emeritus, Reverend Peter Wallace, featuring the Reverend Chelsea D. Waite.
How are you expressing love to those around you? What is your love score? Have you been selective about who deserves your love? Is your love unconditional? Is love your go-to posture as you live in the world as the hands and feet of Jesus?
That's the Reverend Chelsea Waite, and today she offers a powerful message of faith called Bring Love to Your Neighborhood. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, where for over 75 years, you've heard outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. And now, to introduce this week's preacher, our host emeritus, Reverend Peter Wallace.
Today on Day One, we're honored to have with us the Reverend Chelsea D. Waite, assistant pastor for children, college, and women's ministries at the historic Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Chelsea is a graduate of Spelman College and earned her Master of Divinity from Mercer University McAfee School of Theology. She earlier served at Dream Center Church and Second Ponce de Leon Baptist Church in Atlanta. The author of The Edge, Purpose Has No Age Limit. She is the founder of 365 Youth Empowerment Program and a member of the McAfee School of Theology Board of Visitors. Chelsea, welcome to Day One.
Thank you for having me.
You earned your Master of Divinity only a couple of years ago, and since July 2018 have been serving at the historic Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, where you were ordained and licensed to preach. What is your role at the church?
So my role, I am the assistant pastor for children, college, and women's ministry at Ebenezer Baptist Church. And so I work with those three ministries on the day-to-day, just spiritual development of all of our children, of our college students and women.
Of course, Ebenezer is known around the world as a center for civil rights, for prophetic preaching, and for community service. It's where Martin Luther King Sr. and Jr. served. What is it like to serve in such a holy place?
It's honestly a true joy. It is a true honor to be able to continue what was already started. Mm-hmm. It has been refreshing to see how God is moving even now. We truly are America's Freedom Church. And so that is one of the things that is engraved in our fiber and in our being as a church. So it's a joy.
And Ebenezer's senior pastor, Dr. Raphael Warnock, is also now a United States Senator for the state of Georgia, but continues his pastoral role. That's such an amazing accomplishment. How do you put that into historical context?
You know, I will say we are so proud of him. This is definitely, I believe, not just a step forward for him individually, but collectively as a church, as a community, for the state of Georgia. And so as far as the historical aspect of it, I believe we are able to see history being made right before our eyes. And to see that happen, I believe, is just one that is a joy and just a true pleasure to see.
So how does it work for him serving in Washington, D.C., but also coming back for the weekends when he can to preach?
We have an amazing team. We truly have the right people in the right place to do the necessary things to continue the mission of Jesus Christ. And so collectively, we literally are the hands and feet of not just Jesus, but Ebenezer, right? So we make it happen, but under his leadership and direction. And so it truly takes a team.
Chelsea, you have, throughout your ministry, worked with children, youth, and families so far. You've written a book called The Edge, Purpose Has No Age Limit, and you founded an organization called 365 Youth Empowerment Program. How did you find yourself in this calling, particularly to work with youth?
Yes. So actually, when I was about middle high school, around that time in my life, I really wrestled with God on what my purpose was. Mm. And I did not want to do what, you know, society expected. I didn't want to even do what my parents, you know, wanted me. I truly wanted to do what God had called me to do. And so one day I remember literally after so many times of, you know, running away from God and trying to figure it out. I remember one day I was in my room. And I cried out to God and I said, God, there has to be something more to life. Mm. And in that moment, that was my awakening moment. And, you know, it's so funny because even as I, you know, have this interview with you, I look back because as a child, I used to teach my Barbie dolls. I used to preach to them. I used to have Bible study with them. Mm. Not knowing at the time that the calling was being developed. And so in that moment, that is where the heart, the passion, the fire began to be birthed. And so now I truly have a passion to allow our young people to understand what their purpose is in life and what their calling is by God. Mm-hmm. So we gather virtually every Sunday. I established it July 31st of 2011. Mm. And so we're coming up on our 10-year anniversary. And so basically it is a call where youth, and not just youth, but we've expanded to adults, parents saying, well, can I join? Mm. And so we gather on the line to discuss just the obstacles in life and how do you push through that and truly be authentic to what God is calling you to do. And so we gather, like I said, every Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the phone. Hmm. And we have prayer. We receive prayer requests and we have guests come in to speak and pour. And it's a moment and just a space of true freedom and liberation for them to be as they come, as they are.
Wonderful. Chelsea, your sermon today draws from the Gospel of John, chapter 15. As Jesus speaks these powerful, beautiful words, what's happening? Where are we?
Yes, so we are in the place where I truly believe that Jesus is giving not just the disciples, but also us this call to action, this call to duty, to not just love our neighbor, but to really analyze, are we doing it now? Or are we waiting for someone else to do it?
Mm-hmm. Would you read the passage for us?
Absolutely. So John 15, verses 9 through 17 reads, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I commanded you. I do not call you servants any longer because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another."
Chelsea, we look forward to learning more about these powerful words of Jesus in your sermon, Bring Love to Your Neighborhood. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you for having me. It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beautiful wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine?
I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor? These lyrics may sound familiar. They're from the hit television show Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. This show's premise was to help children understand the changing world around them and give them a safe neighborhood where they could be their true selves and best selves. I appreciated Fred Rogers' attempt to show that a neighbor could be anyone and everyone. In 1969, there was one episode when Mr. Rogers asked Officer Clemens, a black police officer, if he would like to cool his feet with Rogers. Rogers proceeded to offer his towel to Clemens as they used the same towel to dry their feet. This demonstration was an act against racial prejudice. Mr. Rogers aimed to present children and their parents the message that we are all neighbors, no matter our skin color, ethnicity, or status in life. However, a few years past my Mr. Rogers days, I've noticed society's ever-growing lack of acceptance of what the freedom fighter from Nazareth prescribed in John 15. 60 or so years after Jesus dies, and amid persecution, John offers a commandment given by Jesus. Love one another as I have loved you. Inhale the love that flows from God to Christ, to the Holy Spirit, to us. Unfortunately, far too often, capitalism has coached us to approach our neighbor through a transactional lens. What do I get out of the deal? If not conscious and cautious, we can be found guilty of being self-centered and afraid or unwilling to embrace our neighbors, all of which is antithetical to what Jesus prescribes in John 15. Christ offers a self-emptying love that makes us show up for others as he showed up for us, even when it was costly. Not because he would benefit from showing up, but because love seeks no personal gain, but the benefit gained by humanity when it is transformed by love. This text necessitates that we go back to the basics. As branches that obtain our nutrients from Jesus, the true vine, Jesus says to us, I want your joy to be complete. So love one another. His commandment reminds us that at the end of the day, there is no greater love than the love Christ has exampled for us. As followers of this love exemplar from Nazareth, we must forever fight those systems of death, oppression, and division that make it difficult to embody non-transactional agape love towards our neighbor. When we actualize Jesus's commandment to love others, we are infused with the spirit power of the eternal true vine, who sustains us amidst the ugliest barriers that seek to divide and conquer. Surely, he can sustain us for this love work since he chose us for it. As the chosen, we recognize that we don't have to elbow each other for a seat at the global neighborhood table. Instead, our faith commits us to craft a longer table as a way of life. After all, they are our neighbors, and there is room for everyone in this neighborhood. Reverend Haddon Robinson said, your neighbor is anyone whose need you see, whose need you are able to meet. A neighbor is someone who says what is mine is God's, and what is God's belongs to my neighbor because my neighbor belongs to him. This standard is one that not only Jesus exemplified for his disciples, but one that we are being beckoned toward until Jesus returns. When was the last time you laid down your life for a friend? When was the last time you demonstrated an act of compassion toward a neighbor who didn't look like you, expressed different beliefs than you, or didn't have the same privileges as you? If this pandemic has taught us anything, it has taught us the fierce urgency of loving now. It has enlightened our awareness of the fragility of life and the roles of others who we may have ignored. Everyone is essential during and after a pandemic in the global neighborhood. Each of us are the candle someone needs to find their way along the path of tough times and miserable moments. Can we pause to take a moment and do a self-evaluation? Let's take a second to capture a spiritual selfie of our own track record. How are you expressing love to those around you? What is your love score? Have you been selective about who deserves your love? Is your love unconditional? Is love your go-to posture as you live in the world as the hands and feet of Jesus? Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." Can you imagine where you would be if it had not been for the love of God? Can you think about how far God's love had to reach to sustain you in spite of you? Jesus goes on to say, "Abide in my love." Jesus could have suggested that the disciples abide in anything, but he selected the one ingredient that always uplifts society: love. Abide in the love of God. Allow it to course through every fiber of our being and every interaction and intention of our lives. Love confirms our vertical relationship with God only when it extends horizontally to those around us. When we choose to love, we become friends of Jesus. In other words, there is a unique communion we share with Jesus once we fulfill this commandment. To know that we were chosen indicates how deep and how wide Jesus' love is for us. And as a result, Jesus proclaims the final call to action: go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Ironically, it is understood that we all have the capacity to bear fruit, but the work that is ours is to produce fruit that will last and have an impact beyond our mere mortal moments on the earth plane. Agape love lingers, riffing off earth, wind, and fire. Love never dissipates. It only recreates in another space and time. Brothers and sisters, this is our call to action, a call to duty. This call is not constituted by a contract. Rather, it rests on a covenant. This call is bigger than our individual selves, but it requires our individual response. Love one another as I have loved you. A story is told of a 13-year-old boy named Robert Jr. Johnson, affectionately referred to as RJ. He lived with his mother, Selena, and his father, Robert Sr. Just like any teenager, there were moments when RJ would obey his parents and other moments when he would disobey. The family was preparing for the Christmas holiday. RJ knew that he had to help clean the house prior to guests arriving. This Christmas, RJ was not in agreement. He wanted to use his break the way he wanted to, and that did not include cleaning the house. A few days later, his mother walked around the house and noticed that everything she had asked RJ to clean was clean. With a beaming smile painted on her face, she walked into her bedroom and found a note on her dresser. RJ wrote this letter and it said, "For cutting the grass, $20. For cleaning my room, $15.25. For removing the garbage, $10. For washing the dishes, $10.50. For vacuuming the house, $10. Total owed, $65.75. RJ's mom wrote him a note in response. Her letter said, as sung by Shirley Caesar, "For the 9 months I carried you, holding you inside me, no charge. For the nights I sat up and doctored and prayed for you, no charge. For the time and tears and the cost through the years, there is no charge. For the advice and the knowledge and the cost of your college, no charge. When you add it all up, the full cost of my love is no charge. May we be joyously reminded of the one who made the ultimate sacrifice for us all at no charge to us, at no charge to our neighbors. God helps us to do as Christ commands us. Love them wherever we find them in the global neighborhood." And in this moment, I'd invite you to join me in prayer. God of unconditional love and grace, we thank you for your word that reminds us of our call to action, our call to love. May the commandment of Christ to love be our lifestyle. May we who embrace your word be reminded to bear the fruit of love and justice for our neighbor. Amen.
Our preacher today was the Reverend Chelsea D. Waite, assistant pastor for children, college, and women's ministries at the historic Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. For a free transcript of her sermon, Bring Love to Your Neighborhood, you can visit us online at dayone.org. And remember, for over 75 years, we've depended on faithful listeners like you. We hope you might consider contributing to this ministry by making a financial donation or by sharing Day One with your family and friends. Next week, we're pleased to have with us the Reverend Juan Carlos Huertas, Minister of Proclamation and Practice of Justice at First Plymouth Congregational Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. Be sure to tune in for his inspiring sermon and a great conversation for Ascension Sunday next week, right here on Day One. If you are a preacher or love preaching, you'll love experiencing the Festival of Homiletics. This annual premier preaching conference will gather both in person in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and online May 13th through 16th, 2024. To register for this life-changing conference, go online to festivalofhomiletics.com.
Now, our day one preacher, Chelsea Waite, shares some final reflections on her sermon today, Bring Love to Your Neighborhood. First of all, thanks for a beautiful sermon, Chelsea. I love how you started with Mr. Rogers' beloved song, It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, partly because he was a preacher on this program back when it was called the Protestant Hour. The iconic scene you spoke of when Mr. Rogers and Officer Clemens shared a cooling foot bath, you said it was an act against racial prejudice. We are all neighbors, he showed us, no matter our skin color, ethnicity, or status in life. But as we all know, the evil of racism is still very prevalent in our society. So I'm wondering, what little acts of neighborliness could we engage in that might help fight racism?
Absolutely. And thank you for that question. I think, one, we should take a moment to analyze our own privileges. I believe we all have some type of privilege. And I think we have to get to the place where we lay that down for the betterment of someone else. And so I think that is a beginning moment. I think that is definitely a start. And then I would also just add to look around our local neighborhoods, look around our local communities. And for some, that may mean going outside of what you are familiar to seeing. And familiar just doing and really truly embodying, like I said, to be the hands and feet of Christ. What does that look like? And I believe this is the season where God is stretching us outside of our comfort zones. Though not comfortable, it is necessary.
Society still seems to refuse to accept the call of Jesus in John chapter 15 to love one another as I have loved you, period. You said you encouraged us to inhale the love that flows from God to Christ to the Holy Spirit to us. Simply love without trying to figure out what we can get out of the deal. Would you say more about how we can breathe in God's love in order to share it with others freely and honestly?
Yes, I believe this inhaling of God's love, it causes us to sit and reflect on how deep God's love is for us. But then I believe our spirits are convicted and should be convicted to then ask ourselves, are we displaying the same love? Or are we just withholding it for ourselves? And so that is why I believe we cannot ask ourselves any longer, what do I get out of the deal? Sometimes it's, what can I do better for my neighbor?
Chelsea, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind in the days ahead?
I want our listeners to understand that there are so many systems that we have to fight against. But it does not just take one person. It takes a collective response. And I believe, like I said in the sermon, everyone has a seat at the table. We don't have to fight each other for the seat, but we have to know how to work the seat we're in. And so that would be the main thing that I would want our listeners to take away. And then the last thing I would say is, again, we are in a season where we are called to action. We are in a season, this pandemic, like I said, if it hasn't taught us anything, it has taught us the fierce urgency to love now, not wait till tomorrow, not expect anyone else to do it. But the time is now.
Amen. Chelsea Waite, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. It has been a true joy and pleasure.
Day One carries on the rich legacy of over 75 years of inspirational preaching, broadcasting and podcasting the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. You can visit us online at dayone.org. I'm Reverend Dr. Katie Givens-Keim, wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.